This podcast is intended for healthcare professionals only. Hello, I'm Professor Francesco Giorgino. I'm professor of endocrinology and chairman of the Department of Precision and Regenerative Medicine at Ionian area at University of Bari Aldo Moro in Bari, Italy. Welcome to this third podcast in this series on diabetes care. This episode is a special one because we're going to be looking at some of the highlights from the 59th annual meeting of the European Association for the Study of Diabetes Congress. And most of you, of course, will know about it. This podcast is brought to you as part of Diabetes Knowledge into Practice, which is an educational activity and so is accredited for up to 0.25 AMA PRA Category 1 credits. You can claim your credits by answering the pre- and post-activity questions at diabetes.knowledgeintopractice.com. If you are listening in a podcast app, there is a helpful link to this in the episode notes. This episode is supported by an educational grant from Novo Nordisk, who have no influence on the content or faculty. Now, this year, ESD took place between October 2nd and 6th, 2023. It was a hybrid event, which means some delegates attended online via a virtual platform, but the majority packed their bags and traveled to Hamburg in Germany to attend in person. Those of you who attended would have had over 1,000 abstracts to choose from in the form of stimulating symposia, debates, and presentations from distinguished scientists and promising talents in diabetes research. In this podcast, I am joined by Dr. Erika Becerra Parente to select what we believe are some of the highlights from the Congress in terms of type 2 diabetes. Let me introduce Dr. Parente. She's a senior researcher at the Folksalsan Research Center in Helsinki in Finland. She graduated in medicine from the Faculty of Medicine of Universidade Federal do Ceará, Brazil, before subsequently completing a PhD in endocrinology. She has been taking care of patients with diabetes, obesity, and other endocrine disorders for more than 15 years. You can find links to our disclosures as well as the abstracts and trials discussed in today's podcast in the episode notes. Dr. Parente, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Let's start with a study you were involved in when it was found that depression is associated with lower adherence to antihypertensive and lipid-lowering treatments in individuals with diabetes. What can you tell us about this study, and what is the clinical message for healthcare professionals?
Hello, Professor Giorgino. It's a great pleasure to be here discussing with you about the ESD 2023. That I had the pleasure also to attend it and also had some presentations there. So this work was presented by Raya Lutrovius from our group in the Findayan and Folkhausen Research Center. And it's a very interesting point to discuss because usually when we are seeing our patients with diabetes and in that short time that we have in the consultation, sometimes we forget to focus beyond the glucose, lipids, blood pressure, and so on. In this case, we showed that individuals with type 1, in this case, with type 1 diabetes and depression, they were more likely to have lower adherence to anti-lipid and antihypertensive medications, which is extremely important because if we are focusing on cardiovascular disease, that we have to control the blood pressure and lipids, but we are not checking how the patients are adhering to medications, we are not doing our work properly. And depression was associated with a lower adherence to these very important medications, which are antihypertensive and lipid-lowering medications. So the message is, in the people with diabetes, we should, during the consultation, check if they are adhering to their medications and not just prescribing them. Because if they do not take them, it's no effect. So, and also it's very important to check about how is the patient in terms of symptoms of depression, because we know that it's not uncommon, depression and diabetes.
Thank you very much. That was very interesting, really. Let's move to another topic. It's important we meet a number of targets when we treat people with type 2 diabetes, including glycemic targets, weight targets, cardiorenal protection. However, there was an interesting real-life study that showed treatment outcomes fell short of achieving lipid and blood pressure targets in these patients. What is your opinion? What can you tell us about this?
Okay, this is a very good point to discuss. And we know that treating people with type 1, type 2 diabetes is very important to get the target of control not on glucose, but also in other risk factors like lipids and blood pressure, and because they are very important for the heart outcomes, heart, kidney, eyes, and so on. In this real-world study that included more than 500,000 people, out of them, around 27,000 had type 1 diabetes and the others type 2 diabetes, and they had high-risk cardiovascular classification. And then what was found is a huge number of individuals were not on target for blood pressure, considering blood pressure target as 140 per 90 milliliters of mercury. And they were not on target, a huge number were not on target as well for the lipids that would be at least below 130 milligrams per deciliter. And what does it mean? It's we have the medication, we have the knowledge to treat our patients. But what is happening is the targets are not reached. Why? We have to think about this. Is this something else that we can do to change this? Because it doesn't matter if we have the medications, but the patients are not taking, or the patients are not going to the consultations to get the prescriptions, or for some reason, for example, like I discussed it before, in terms of depression, the adherence to the prescriptions are low because patients have other problems that they cannot take their medication. So it's a lack of time during the consultations to talk with the patients, could be. So these are important points to discuss and try to find an answer to solve this problem, because we have the medication, we have the information that is important to treat them, to get the target, to have better health, but we are not going there. So it's an inertia of treatment or inertia of thinking about a solution. That's something we have to think as healthcare professionals to treat better our patients.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I have another question regarding SGLT2 inhibitors. We are all aware of the SGLT2 inhibitor benefits in the renal outcome trials. And at the ESD, there was also a debate about whether all people with diabetes and CKD should be on SGLT2 inhibition by default. What was said during this debate?
There was a very interesting debate that I have the pleasure to be chairing this debate. And Andrew Franco from UK was defending the yes, but actually he was presenting mainly the renal outcome trials, the GRADIENT trial, DAPA, CKD, and the AMPA kidney, which have shown benefits in terms of kidney outcomes in people with type 2 diabetes. But of course, as the title was to generate a debate, was all people with diabetes and CKD? No, it's not for all with diabetes, because here we have people with type 1 diabetes, if we consider all people with diabetes. And that was the point about the advocation of the no, it's not for all by default, because we don't have renal outcomes for people with type 1 diabetes. And although we have trials that have, you know, used SGLT2 inhibitor in type 1, they were not targeting the kidney outcomes. And also we know about the increased risk about ketoacidosis with normal glycemia, and this can misdiagnose in the ER and the people can die because of this. So in terms of risks and benefits, for type 1, it's a little more complicated. And as we have, for example, finerenone that has shown benefits for kidney outcomes in type 2, and we know that we have a trial going on that will show us if it's also a benefit for type 1. So the main concern here is to give us the altitude for people with type 1 to protect kidney. It's possible that we have positive results, and possibly we have in the future data for this. But Stino is going to study this, and also we know there are other trials looking at this. But for now, we don't have data to say that is the benefits is higher than the risk of ketoacidosis in this population. And there are other subpopulations that we don't have data. So just to be careful when we say all people with diabetes should be on SGLT2 inhibitor by default. So just think a little bit more than by default.
Okay, very good. That's very clear. Thank you. So the last topic I would like you to comment about is stigma and discrimination in diabetes care. It's something we probably do not address too often. There was a very interesting satellite symposium on this topic at ESD 2023. Are you aware of that? Can you give us an overview of what was said?
Yes, this symposium was extremely interesting because it's about the psychological treatment, you know, and addressment in people with diabetes. And although we have huge knowledge in terms of diabetes, there is still stigma when we talk about, you know, if you talk with the patients and there was such kind of deployments, they are their speeches talking how they feel and how they felt in terms of stigma. For example, a speaker with diabetes was saying that she was in a celebration and was just eating some pastries, and somebody said, should she be eating that? She has diabetes, so she can eat anything she wants and just use insulin for those. So also, I personally have a patient that she was so ashamed to have diabetes. She was ashamed about using the pump. She refused to use pump because when she used the pen, nobody knows that she has diabetes. So she just goes to the bathroom in the school and inject insulin because nobody is seeing her. So it was a huge work to convince her to move to the pump because she was afraid about using the pump, that everybody will know that she has diabetes. So this kind of problem, it's real. We still have nowadays. And it's very important that we discuss and we educate, you know, the whole population, not only the patients, but the family, the relatives, friends of the patients, and also the healthcare professionals, because we still see some healthcare professionals that they do not know how to deal with this kind of stigma and psychological issues in the life of people living with type 1 or type 2 diabetes.
Okay. Well, that brings us to the end of this episode. I would like to thank very much Dr. Parente for her comments and insights. You can find a link to the Diabetes Knowledge into Practice website in the episode notes, where you can claim CME credits for this episode and find lots more free resources to support your learning in diabetes. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review or rating to help other people find the podcast. Next up on episode 4, we will be celebrating World Diabetes Day and asking if it is possible to overcome cultural and religious obstacles to personalize diabetes care. We look forward to this. Thank you very much for listening.